It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Coming up at noon, our Browns beat reporter Daryl Ryder will join us as the Browns getting ready to take on those feisty Carolina Panthers tomorrow night. I still think they have the best uniforms in the NFL. I love their unis.
Really?
I think they're great. Yeah. And almost any of their color schemes are really cool. I think they're colors.
Who has the best uniforms in the NFL?
That's another segment. That is another segment.
Yeah. I have to.
We'll talk about that. Gavin Williams yesterday almost has a no-hitter, and he was outstanding. Logan Allen has been terrific this year. Slade Ciccone has stepped up and done a really nice job, and Tanner Bibee gives you a chance to win every time he goes out. The Guardians are catching up. They're getting after it right now. They're six games behind in the division. You want to look at the wild card? They're knocking on the door. They're a game and a half from tying the Yankees right now for the last wild card spot. 2.5 from being the number two team. In other words, playoffs are still a real possibility for this team. If this team is going to win in the postseason, if it happens to get there, Andy, I think it's a safe assumption to say that they're going to have to win in the postseason with pitching. With that thought in mind, you've seen what's happened this year.
Yep.
You're Stephen Vogt. Last year, you managed 10 playoff games, and you had three guys start 9 of those 10 games.
Okay.
Tanner Bibee started 4 playoff games last year.
Okay.
Matthew Boyd started 3.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Cobb started 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Gavin Williams started 1 last year.
Yep.
So he basically went with a 3-man rotation and then threw in Gavin Williams when, you know, it was called for because of, you know, the way the schedule played out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mainly 3 guys. Who are your 3 starters for the playoffs this year?
Bibee, Williams, Ciccone. Not even questioning it. I mean, obviously Logan Allen has a legit kind of talk that you can put him at. But for me right now, it's Bibee, Williams, Ciccone.
In that order?
I want to watch Williams pitch his next outing. Maybe I start him game one. I feel comfortable with any 3 of those guys. Maybe Bibee in game one just because he's got the experience, a little bit more experience, and you know how important it is to win the first game of a series. So it'd be Bibee, probably Williams, then Ciccone. As you know, I love Ciccone. So.
Yes, we're well aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, you love the name Slade.
That's right where you had me at Slade.
And then you love what the guy's done. He's been terrific.
And gets better every time he pitches.
If I had to pick 3 starters
right now,
in order, I'll give you an order even.
Okay.
It would be Gavin Williams. It would be Slade Ciccone. And then I think it would be Logan Allen.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I think Logan Allen, man, I really like Tanner Bibee. Don't get me wrong. I like the lefty thought. I'm guessing that whoever you go up against, having a lefty start might be a really good thing. And I love the way Logan Allen competes on the mound. I mean, he doesn't back down from anybody. And Tanner's had a little bit of an issue this year, giving up home runs. And I would have him ready to roll, I think. And you know, you'd have to convince him of this, obviously. But again, you already paid him. I think I'd have him ready to go as my long man. And I might do something like, hey, Logan, you're going 3. We're not going to, maybe 4 innings. We're not going to let guys get a third look at you. And then Tanner, hey, Tanner, get ready. You're going 3 or 4. I might do something like that. Or I'd have Bibee ready to come in at a moment's notice for Gavin Williams in that first start or Slade Ciccone in that next start. The thing of it is, Andy, I think they have 4 legit pitchers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you wanted to go with a 4-man rotation, although Vogt didn't do that last year in the playoffs, you've got your 4. And you could make Cantillo that long guy.
I would never walk into a game thinking that I wouldn't that I would be scared to let a pitcher go through the third time in the rotation or third time through the lineup. If they're hot, they're hot. I don't care. If you want to see them for a third time and they've dominated, I'm going to let them go back through. I hate to even put that into a pitcher's mind. Well, you're not going to see this lineup for a third time. So I just, you know, you may want
to. Well, you don't have to tell them that.
But. Right. But I just like that whole notion, like. If a guy's pitching, like we knew Gavin Williams yesterday was pitching amazing, and so you just don't want to pull. Now I would say normally you're right though, Jeff, that you don't want to see that. You don't want to face a guy for a third time in a game. I get it because it might be. Is it advantage batter? Probably.
And they especially do that in the playoffs too. They really pay attention to it.
So I'm okay with what you're saying. Nothing tops experience. And I thought you made the case for Bibee when you were explaining it in the beginning about how he went through the rotation last year and how many starts Bibee got last year. There is just something about knowing what it's like to pitch in the playoffs and have a little bit more experience that gives someone an edge, for me at least, gives them the edge on whether I'm starting them, depending on where that is and what game it is.
Dennis is in Lakewood. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis. Dennis Martinez.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, good. We're good.
I don't think it's Dennis Martinez.
We were close. Okay.
Or Eckersley.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Would you have pulled Len Barker because he was pitching a no-hitter, a perfect game in May?
I wouldn't have pulled Gavin Williams yesterday, Dennis, if you listened.
No, I did listen. Okay. And
I said I'd have left him out there. And no, I wouldn't have pulled Len because he threw 102 pitches in the perfect game.
No batter saw a third ball in that game, in that perfect game. Isn't that amazing? Third ball. That's why that game was so
Lenny threw 102 pitches. And things are different in this day and age in pitching, Dennis, unfortunately.
Well, how are things different? I'm sorry.
Have you heard of the Tommy John injury?
I have heard of it. Have you heard of a Bob Feller theory of strengthening your arm?
Well, and I did, and Bob didn't last as long as he should have. Part of it was the war, and part of it was he blew out his arm.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
He did.
I thought he pitched for like 15 seasons, which is pretty remarkable.
He did, but look at what he did the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that was my only point, because it sounded
I wouldn't have pulled Len, but Len didn't have a real high pitch count in that game. Guys, pitching is, I mean, take a look at it. It's an epidemic of elbow injuries because organizations, colleges, high schools, it's all about velocity, and these guys are blowing out their arms,
Bob, and
you have to protect it.
Bob had 279 complete games.
They just went forever, Andy.
That is unbelievable.
He wasn't alone, though.
No, I know.
I mean, they used to do that. You went out and you pitched. But look at the last several years of Bob's career. Bob was not the same type of pitcher. And I remember him saying he threw a curveball and he felt it and it was like, uh-oh. And he wasn't the same pitcher ever again. Was he still good? Yeah, he was still good, but he wasn't Bob Feller good. And that's just the way things go. A guy, to me, the biggest aberration in pro sports, all of pro sports, I think, is Nolan Ryan. Nolan threw gas until he was like 45, 46 years old.
Wow.
His entire career, he threw gas. And he never had a huge major arm injury.
You want to guess who the last pitcher was to have 100 or more complete games? The last pitcher?
Greg Maddux.
Oh, you actually said his name in the segment already.
Who?
Dennis Eckersley.
It was Dennis?
Yeah. That is amazing to me that you're right about how the game has changed. Wow, that's insane.
And I hate it because pitching is more than throwing hard. Pitching is knowing how to get guys out. And unfortunately, for kids to get noticed, usually it's velocity. You know, the Guardians are a little different than most teams because they look at how a kid can spin the ball. And if you, Shane Bieber's a perfect example. Shane was throwing like low 90s when he was in college, like 90, 91. And the Guardians liked how he threw the ball, how he could spin it, control it, and they thought we can add 3 or 4 miles an hour to this guy. Well, they drafted him, they added 3 or 4 miles an hour to him, and you had Shane Bieber. But, you know, too often you see guys who can go out and throw it like absolute crazy, might not know where it's going, and then might get injured. And it's just, it's a different way of thinking than it used to be. And Bob Feller's way of thinking where you throw, I agree with it. I think it's great. But that's not what they do anymore. Take a look at the number of guys. In fact, we had Ron Darling on the show. What, Dano? About a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
2 months ago when we Ron playing, said this.
We were doing a game. They played a yeah. game on Fox.
And I mentioned to Ron that
CBS.
He pitched, I think it was like 8 years in a row where he threw 200-plus innings.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of Major League Baseball last year, I believe the number was three. Might have been four guys.
That was CeCe's goal every year when he stepped. Well, every year it was like, I'm going to throw 200 innings.
That was common for a starting pitcher. Now it's a rarity when a starting pitcher throws 200 innings in a season. And Bob Feller used to do it all the time. Take a look at Bob threw 300-plus innings in a season all the time. There were four guys, Dano? Yeah, four guys last year who threw 200-plus innings in Major League Baseball. That was commonplace in the old days. And why are there so many injuries now? Is it, and it's the same injury for the most part, is it because they're not throwing enough? Maybe. Is it because they're throwing with such high stress velocity and putting so much stress on that ulnar collateral ligament? That might be it too. Is it a combination of the two? That might be it too. But teams have to watch it like crazy now because there's so much money invested in pitching.
Since 1999, there's only been one pitcher in the American League that has had more than that's had double digit complete games. That was James Shields in 11. He threw 11. The last time in the American League a pitcher had more than four complete games in a season was Irving Santana and Corey Kluber in 2017. It's weird when you look at complete game numbers.
It's a different world.
And how they dropped as once we put a 2-0 on the date rather than a 1-9, everything dropped.
And now if you go 5 innings, you turn it over to the bullpen.
Bert Blyleven was the last guy in the American League to have 20 or more complete games. He had 24 back in, what year was that? 85.
Who would your rotation be for the Guardians in the playoffs? Last year, Stephen Vogt used three guys, and then one guy made one start. Something funny about all that coming up next on Baskin and Phelps. That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, going to join us coming up at noon as the Browns getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers tomorrow. Preseason game number one. Here we go. Daryl's joining us at noon. We're talking Guardians, a little pitching right now. What do you do? You're Stephen Vogt. We're going to go ahead and say they're going to make the playoffs. What do you do? Who do you pitch?
Still work to be done.
We're going to go for it. Who do you pitch? What starters? Last year, 10 playoff games, voters started four different guys. We're allowed to call them voter, aren't we?
Sure.
Are we you cool can enough call and close anyone. Enough that we can call them
You're
voter?
You're the only one like I know that worries else? About this stuff, so just voter. Do it. Just do it.
Voter. He's a good voter. Turns out every year. He started
four. That doesn't get a rim shot? That was bad.
He started four guys, but Bybee started four games. Matthew Boyd started three. Alex Cobb started two. Gavin Williams started one. Two of the four guys who started in the playoffs last year aren't even here now.
Mm.
Interesting. Half of the games were started by guys that the Guardians didn't or couldn't keep. Matthew Boyd, Alex Cobb. And Gavin Williams, who looks to be the guy that I would start, you know, he'd be my main guy in the playoffs. He'd be Andy's number two guy in the playoffs. He started just one game last year. So Bybee has the experience. Andy, that might give him an edge if you're looking for the right guy and you picked Bybee. I think I'd go Logan Allen, but I'd look at the matchup and see, you know, if I'm going up against a predominantly left-handed hitting team, I'd go Logan Allen. But I think either one is a fine option there. Tom is in Menor. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jeff. You hit on a little bit of the Nolan Ryan, you know, one of the better pitchers. And I will tell you, he was one of my favorite pitchers of all time because he never really used his arm. That guy lasted, I don't know how many complete games he had, but he had quite a few.
He only led the league once in complete games. Jim Palmer and him had 22 in 1977. I'm just kind of looking at the numbers as we're going along. Bob Lemon was probably the guy that if you ever want to look to. But, I mean,
he had a lot of 200, 300-inning seasons, a couple of 300-inning seasons.
Feller had two-plus 30 complete game seasons.
Didn't he have like a 23 or 24-year career as well?
Seven.
I'm not positive. I think he pitched in his mid-40s.
27. And, he pitched until he was 46.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and
I mean,
he would still throw at you.
Oh, well, as Ventura.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I think he had that brawl when he was like 46 years old, and he beat the snot out of him. But no, he used his thighs. Him and Clemens were the two pitchers that I noticed that never really had arm problems through their careers, but they used a lot of their
lower
part of their body.
Yeah.
Is that's really what saved their arms over that. Well, I mean, think about that kind of a career. I mean, how many pitchers could pitch 25 years? You know what I mean? I mean, that's amazing at that level. I mean, so, but anyways, I would start Bobby first and Williams second, and then probably Allen third.
That would be that's where the rotation's now.
In the playoffs.
Makes sense.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. In his 40s, Nolan Ryan, number of starts. 34, 33, 32, 30, 27, 27. 13 starts as last year in the league. The pitching is going to be critical, obviously, if the Guardians get to the postseason, because, Andy, even though they sweep the Mets and even though they're playing great baseball, are you confident in the offense yet? And do you think you could be by the time the playoffs get here?
The offense has significantly gotten better since the losing streak. And so I don't know if they just kind of looked themselves in the mirror and said, all right, well, we got to shake this, or it's just guys that needed to get regular at bats. I think yesterday's game helps when you only use 9 batters in the entire game. You know, you constantly are messing with pinch hitting left and right, and it doesn't bother me if a guy's 0-for-3 and struck out 3 times, and you want to pinch hit for him in the 8th or 9th inning. That to me makes sense. It's the why are we taking guys out when they're hot? I might be the only guy in America that doesn't care about lefty righty. If a guy is hot, he's hot.
Couldn't agree more.
And, you know, leave them in there. So, but they're winning this way. And if they find themselves, you know, nestled into a playoff spot here shortly. Yeah. They're outside.
Man. Nestled.
If they can find themselves nestled into a playoff spot. I hate working with you sometimes. I just want you to know. then go with what got you there. And, you know, this is what got them there last year. I tire of the, we're just going to get there and get blown out attitude. I like, get away from me. I don't even want to hear from you. Now, if you get to the playoffs and you got a chance, just get there.
But there's one issue.
And you don't have enough offense to win in the playoffs. Okay, you're right. But let's see if we give them a chance and they get one more run than the other team did and your starting pitcher's on fire like what we saw yesterday, what's the difference?
Our boy Menigan. That's the difference. Dan,
what are you blaming me for now?
No, I'm not blaming you.
I feel like I'm getting dragged in.
You're right. That's the problem.
You know, well, that's not good either.
The Guardians win the game, but they lose the no-hitter. Why? Because the guy the Mets are paying big, big money to be a factor at the plate was a factor at the plate. And we saw what Juan Soto did last year for the Yankees in the playoffs. And, you know, the Guardians, I think, have one of those guys. One. And that's Jose. Question is, can anybody else come along for the ride if they get to the postseason?
Quan, right? I'm not lost on this conversation. I just want to.
The problem is, though, when somebody hangs a slider, Stephen Kwan got put over the fence.
No, he's going to hit a line drive into right field for a base hit. And then you're going to need two other guys to get him in.
And especially in a 2-1 ball game. And especially with the playoffs, because you're seeing these starters going max effort 2 times across. If you're lucky, some of them might have been 1 time across. And then here comes the fire-breathing dragons coming out of the bullpens, where even if it's not coming at you at 102, it's moving like a frisbee. You only get like 4 or 5 of those balls that hang, and you have got to make teams pay for it in the playoffs. And that's the one thing that holds this team back, is they don't have the guys that make you pay.
For instance, last year, the guys who made them pay, John Kenzie Noel.
You need to stick your eyebrow up when you say that, but yes, keep going.
What? I have the shaved head.
Yes, you do.
John Kenzie Noel, Lane Thomas, David Fry. You know, can you get those guys to do that type of thing again this year? You know, I mean, the Guardians had some really big hits in clutch situations last year in the postseason. I don't know that this team is capable of that.
They've been getting really weird home runs lately, though. Guys, you don't expect, like, all of a sudden Schneeman steps up there, or
you know, oddly enough, is and we went over it yesterday, Andy. They're at the bottom of every offensive category, basically the ones that matter.
Yeah,
except home runs. They're a little higher in home runs than you'd think. They're like 19th in home runs in Major League Baseball.
So maybe Dan's wrong.
No, which made me think this, though.
I want to be wrong.
Which made me think this. They're hitting home runs a little better than they're hitting everything else. God, imagine if they weren't hitting home runs a little bit. How bad would they be in runs scored and slugging percentage and OPS and everything else that everybody looks at?
And they're winning games close, too. Like, I keep my eye on that plus-minus mark in the standings, where they're the only team that's flirting with a playoff spot that's in the red and not in the green. And Tampa is in the green, and they're behind. You know, they keep just chipping away at that. Like, you're almost hoping that they're back to zero by the end of the season. Because when you're winning these one-run games, you're only taking one run off there. They need a little more offense. That's all. If we can get, can we just get everybody hitting over 200? Is that asking too much?
The issue to me is I don't see any help coming up from down below. You know, can Lane Thomas get over the plantar fasciitis? And then if he can he actually find his bat? Because that's been missing all year when he's been out there. You know, David Fry hit a home run the other day. David looked good. Can David start to hit like he did last year against left-handed pitching? I don't know. You know, they're going to have some guys get hot in the postseason who haven't been hot.
There's one guy from Australia that's been pretty hot lately. I don't know.
He's actually not. I don't
remember his name. He was hot through like 2 or 3 days ago. He was hot. Well, Bazzano got hot.
He's hitting 300 in August.
Okay. Look at that.
Double A.
If you could translate those to big league numbers.
Jonathan Rodriguez is hitting like 336 in Triple A. How'd that work out?
They're different players,
Don't
Jeff.
Rush Travis. He's the Shedeur Sanders of the Guardians. Rush him. Stop. Don't rush him. Give him his opportunity. Let him find himself.
Okay, Jeff.
Well, no, I mean, why would you bring the guy up if he can help you?
By the way, at the end of the season.
Who would you rather have at the plate right now, Daniel Schneeman or Travis Bazzano?
Schneeman right now, because exactly. I like the way he's swinging. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But as you get closer towards the end of the season and the minor league year ends, and maybe you are contemplating it, I don't mind letting him have the last spot on the roster. I don't. Why not? He's a number one overall pick. I don't care. You would sit here and argue about, not you personally, but are you, football's not baseball. But, you know, he's the guy, and there are other guys from his draft class that are already in the bigs. And you've said before, and I believe you when you say, you know, it's not that far of a jump from Akron to Cleveland. It isn't.
No, it happens all the time. He's won for his last 11, if that means anything.
And what was he before that?
He had one big game. He had three hits back on August 2nd. Look, I can't wait to see.
Guardians garnered him enough to make him the number one pick overall.
They garnered him?
They garnered him enough to pick him over other players. You know,
do we have a ding for vocabulary? That's nestled and garnered in the same segment.
It's soon to be.
No, we don't get that pedantic.
This is soon to be Menigan and Phelps. Nice. Oh, welcome to the club. Actual vocabulary.
That was really pretty impressive all the way around right there.
Yes.
Is what that was. Bazzano will get here soon enough. I don't see the help coming up from within. It's not going to be DeLauder. I doubt that it'll be Rodriguez or Noel coming back, even though I'd like it to be. I keep waiting for Nolan Jones to hit like Nolan Jones in Colorado. He hasn't done that in a while. So what's that mean? That's not good. So what happens? Somehow the offense is going to have to keep going on its own with what's here. And they've done a decent job of that. And especially as of late, and then the pitching's going to have to dominate. But what we do know, man, has this been fun. They're back in it. They're six games out of the division. I mean, who even thought the division was a possibility?
It was over when they were 15.
And a half.
Yeah.
Out. Now they've made up 9.5 games.
You want to keep your eye on the prize. What's the prize, Jeff?
The prize right now, Andy, is just getting into the playoffs. You get in, then anything can happen.
Should the prize be the Central?
No.
I never would have said that. No. Never, ever, ever would have said that just when they were 15 and a half back.
Just get in. Right now, if you can just get in, you're in great shape. And then you
remember
see what
when
happens.
They had to hurdle six teams to get into this where they are now? They've hurdled five of the six.
Yeah. I mean, you're right there. We'll see what happens against Chicago. This is a team you're supposed to go and beat up on the Chicago White Sox because they're not very good. Can you? Will you? I don't know. That's the question on this one. But it's a big deal. Daryl Ryder is going to join us coming up at noon. Shedeur Sanders expected to start, even though Kevin Stefanski didn't really say so. But he's expected to start tomorrow against Carolina. Gary Barnage, former Panthers tight end, former Browns tight end, will join us at 1 o'clock. That's all coming up here on Baskin and Phelps. But when George Kittle speaks, George gets action. Next on Baskin and Phelps. That's Andy. I'm Jeff. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Dan Menigan making sure everything runs as close to properly as we ever do here. And Anthony Allant will be taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. We talked yesterday, I believe, George Kittle, 49ers tight end, crashing an NFL Network interview with his teammate Fred Warner to complain, tongue-in-cheek, but not completely, about the NFL sending out a memo banning smelling salts. Done. Can't do it. No longer allowed to use smelling salts
on
the sidelines during a game. That was the deal. That's what it said. And the reason why the league said the smelling salts could mask the symptoms of a concussion, which I thought, okay, well, the concussion thing is more important. I get that. Mm-hmm. I understand. However, yesterday, after George did his whole thing, the NFL Players Association sent a memo out to players saying that the ban that the league informed the teams about on Tuesday only prohibits, and they call it a ban, only prohibits team employees from distributing smelling salts and other ammonia inhalants during game and pregame
AIs,
activities.
Man. AIs. That's what it's all about.
Ammonia inhalants?
They're called AIs, too, yeah.
I thought that was...
That's what the league called them.
Artificial intelligence.
No, that's what the league called them.
Well, they're no longer banned. They were banned for 12 hours from pregame activities, games, and halftimes.
I'm just saying.
Or locker rooms, anything.
We need Kittle to negotiate for us.
But you know what this puts us in now, Andy?
BYOSS, right?
Hey, dude. You got any salts? I need my salts.
How about some pepper?
You got some paprika? Give me some salts right now. I need ammonia. Pass that Windex. Let's go. I mean, you're gonna have smelling salts guys. Who's your smelling salts guy? I got one. I got a guy. Team trainer can't give him to me, but I got a guy. He's sitting over in section 117. He can get him down here.
Anybody got a cayenne pepper?
We can wrap it in a hot dog.
How about some garlic herb?
We can get it down here on the field. I got my smelling salts guy.
Is that organic you got over there? Huh? Got some organic stuff?
Isn't that kind of weird? What's the difference? Team, it's liability, I'm sure.
Some chili powder, man.
Team personnel cannot hand out.
Apple pie spice? You're feeling a little spicy.
Team personnel cannot hand out smelling salts. Cannot hand out
So take the
ammonia.
Liability. I don't have a problem with it. They took the liability away from the teams.
But you can bring your own.
But yeah, bring your own smelling salts. Whatever.
You can bring your own. So what are the players going to do? Are they going to go out and buy them and bring them and use them that way?
Bring salt all you want.
Apparently Kittle is.
Smell it in the third quarter. Put it on your fries after the game. It's all good.
But he's got to make sure the team personnel apparently doesn't give it to him.
It's all right. They just take it out of the first aid kit. That's all they're doing.
Well, it's not in the first aid kit. It's not allowed to be there.
Well, don't you think that's where they would pack it?
Andy, they just said team personnel is not allowed to give it out.
I know what
I'm
saying.
If it's in a team container, I would think that's a problem.
Well, don't you think
you're smuggling it in your socks.
Don't you think you don't have to smuggle it in? They're not telling you have to smuggle it in. What they're saying is the team is not providing smelling salts. End of story.
So you've got to get your own salts guy. Everybody needs a good salts guy.
Does it come with a trench coat?
I don't think it does.
Okay.
But you need a salts guy.
I think it's weird that they about faced on it, or
quickly.
Did they know it was written this way? Or by the way, did they not have a
quickly.
Jeff Phelps escape route to get out of the conversation?
I don't know.
You know that's trademarked now too.
Is it really?
Yes.
That's good to know.
Leave just a little bit so that you can escape and you're good to go. That's called a Phelps.
Is it really?
Yeah, I just made it up. Would you agree with that, Dan?
I have no idea what that means.
That sometimes you'll say stuff and you don't, you sound like you're going all the way, but you put a limiter on your sentence to give you an out.
You know why, Andy? Very few things are completely 100%
absolutely,
in sports.
Yes. Two things. There's zero and 100%.
Wins and losses.
No, trades. They're either on or off. Is that trade done? No. Okay. Is that trade done? Yes, that's it. There's no in between. Don't ask what's the percentage of this trade happening because there isn't. There's zero and 100. That's it. Boom.
Guy who's been on our show numerous times is Eric Edholm from NFL.com.
Mm-hmm.
Eric's smart. Eric has been a great guest for us. I'll bet he's been on 10 times over the years. And
he's in the 10-time club.
He writes for NFL.com. And he puts out power rankings and he updates them.
On smelling salts?
His power rankings released 2 days ago. So Tuesday, he put out new power rankings. The headline, which teams are rising, which teams are falling, entering preseason week one. The number one team in the league, according to Eric, is the Philadelphia Eagles, who the Browns will be practicing against and then playing coming up next week. Number two is Baltimore. Number three is Kansas City. Number four is Buffalo. Five is Detroit. This all sounds pretty legit. Those are the top five teams. And if you're wondering where the Browns are, you got to scroll a little bit. Then you have to scroll a little bit more, get past the Bengals at number 12.
Why don't you just take it to the bottom first and then
work
your way up?
Eric power rankings. You got to get past Pittsburgh at number 16. And you just keep going. So there's the division. Dallas is down at number 20. You keep going. Jacksonville. Browns have their pick next year. Number 23.
Surprised you wasted your time doing this, looking through all the other teams up
Travis
top.
Travis Hunter going to play both sides of the ball in the first preseason game.
That's going to be
New
fun.
York Jets, New York Jets aren't good. They're 29th. Giants are 30th. Saints are awful. They're 31st. Eric Edholm has the Browns in the power rankings. You're not going to like this, Browns.
Above Kent State or below Kent State? By the way, it's a brutal schedule,
dead
too.
Dead last. 32nd in the NFL right now. And I want to touch on some of the things he said.
Should we do a group sigh?
Three, yes. Two, one.
He writes a real dandy little summation. He says, hard to say it's been a banner camp for the Browns. He mentions Quinshon Judkins. He mentions Pickett getting hurt. And he called it the four quarterback jamboree.
Yep, we're having jamboree.
Then he mentions Martin Emerson's Achilles. And then he says, hard to know how the quarterback battle will end up as neither Dylan Gabriel nor Shedeur Sanders yet been able to make a big move. He's right about that.
Trending appropriately.
And then he looks at what I've looked at forever. Says there are questions about running back and wide receiver rotations, just how many weapons will be at quarterback disposal after Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku. He says defensively, Browns could be competitive, but the unit has to be a lot better than it was last season. Just too much up in the air for this team right now to believe good things are imminent on the horizon.
Do yourself a favor. When you're looking at these lists, go straight to the bottom. Keep your eyes closed. And then you see words, but you hopefully don't see what team it is. Open your eyes. And if the Browns aren't 32 or 31, then it's a win. It's where we are right now.
Is that where we are?
Yeah, it's where we are. Like you said, there's a power list out. I went to the power list. Boom, I just go right to the bottom now. I want to see who's...
You kind of ruined the drama that I was setting up, but that's okay.
I didn't feel the drama. That was the problem. And I also think that most Browns fans know that anyone who's looking at this team right now knows that you should probably look at the bottom first and work your way up.
Look at the bottom?
Absolutely, you should be looking. They were a three-win team last year.
Saints weren't any good.
They were a three-win team.
Browns have better quarterbacks than the Saints.
Judkins getting in trouble didn't help. That was probably the difference.
Are you really nitpicking on being 32nd compared to 31st?
No, it's 31. No. 31 to 32. Yeah, you're right.
Really where we are?
Yes.
You're sitting there going, oh, we should be 31st.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm just wondering, are they sitting here right now, the worst team in the league? I don't know the answer to that. But we all respect Eric. I think Eric does a great job. But that's where most folks have this team situated right now. And that's stunning to me as you go into the sixth year of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, that this is where this team is.
It's not stunning when you wasted years on a quarterback decision.
Yeah, because of the quarterback.
Yeah, the devastation you did by giving up all those first-round picks, whether you would have made good picks or not, you didn't even have the ability to do that.
Or trade them for multiple picks.
And also, listen, when we talk about people who might be available, we're like, I don't know if they can afford to do that. I don't know if they can do that because they still got to pay Deshaun. So it's painful. That was a bad decision. It was a
you think?
Big swing and a miss. And that's why you're 32.
I can't really argue with it. But it's just sitting there in black and white and you think, wow, okay. Really true, huh?
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir, it is. And it's gonna make things interesting. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the preseason, maybe the highlight of the year.
Why do you say that? You really think
because
that?
There are question marks about what the future might look like. And I mean, if you want to see Shedeur Sanders, this is probably going to be your best shot right now, unless you have injuries down the road. So I don't know. I'm kind of geeked for tomorrow night. I want to see what Shedeur looks like. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I want to see if the media was kind of right or the teams were right about why he wasn't drafted where or why he was drafted where he was drafted. I want to see. I think everyone wants to see that. I do think fans would be excited to see that, you know, that the teams were wrong, that they made a huge mistake. Like, how did that guy fall that far? I think fans are rooting for him, and I think they're rooting to say, all right, every team, you were wrong. I don't know what they are.
A gentleman named Mo Moten from Bleacher Report put out his standings, what he thinks teams are going to do this year. Mm-hmm. In the AFC North, he has the Ravens at 14-3, the Steelers at 11-6. He has the Bengals at 9-8. He has the Browns at 2-15.
Should we do a group sigh?
3-2-1.
He says unless Cleveland's defense can consistently score touchdowns, this team will win only a couple of games.
16, Jeff. 16 points per game. Get me to 21, and we got a shot every week.
Daryl Ryder is our Browns beat reporter. He's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps as the Browns getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers tomorrow night.